So, I know it's hard to believe, but imagine some of our reader never heard of Royal Republic. What can you tell us about you?
Yeah, that is really hard to believe. Well, basically, we're a rock band from the south of Sweden, Malmö. We've been together since 2007. We've released 3 albums and 1 EP, and we do our best to entertain people.
Right, right. So if we come back a little to the past and all the period around the second album, Save the Nation, if you had to kind of synthesize or summarize this whole period from recording to composing, releasing, tour, is there one souvenir or one element in particular that rise in your mind?
The last album, Save the Nation?
Yes. If there's one souvenir, one event, something that would you think stuck you and kind of summarize this whole period?
Well, I'd say what summarizes this whole period from the start actually it's been a great ride, and the world has been good to us. The world has embraced us with open arms, and we've felt appreciated and wanted almost all over the place that we went. So it's been a good ride. It's been ups and downs, obviously. We did cancel a few shows, but that happens. But all in all, it's been good. And Save the Nation was a kick-ass album, although now in retrospective, we might have benefited from taking some time off touring to give the songs the attention they deserved, which we did on the new album, Weekend Man. But mm-hmm. it's been a very pleasant ride, and we're super happy.
I'm a little surprised by something you just said, especially considering the music and the catchiness you're looking for. I was thinking more that. On stage would feed the new songs and not like you would need to get rested or take some more time. You know what I mean? I would think you would like immediately after going out of stage trying to record to capture or to part of the energy of the live experience.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's basically what you want to do, but at the same time, it's like you need to wind down every once in a while, and you need to take some time off, basically, to write the songs that you want to record, and you're supposed to be super proud of your albums for the rest of your life, so it just takes some time, but the energy that we get from being on stage is always there. We always bring it with us wherever we go, whether it's in the studio or on stage or on tour or back home, so... That's never been a problem for us. We've been very, very picky and keen on keeping the energy and make sure that it comes across on the albums.
Okay. So in general, what can you tell us about the recording session for Weekend Man?
It's been a ride, to say the least. There's been a lot of ups and downs. I mean, there were times when we a lot of anxiety, a lot of staying up at night, a lot of not being able to sleep, a lot of tears, a lot of fighting, and a lot of hugging and kissing and loving each other. It's what comes with making an album. And being as dedicated to the music as we are. So ups and downs, but the result is, we're super proud of the result, so I guess all in all it's been a very, very pleasant experience. And being in Berlin recording a rock album is obviously like the coolest thing you can do, so...
With the limit of enjoying much more the city than be stuck in the studio, no?
Yeah, well, we try to do both. Actually, when you've been stuck in the studio for an entire day, you need to go out and get some. You need some input in order to deliver output. You know what I mean? You need inspiration and stuff, and you need to feel alive to have something to be able to express something. So obviously, we did both, but. I mean, there's always the aspect of time pressure you have a deadline. The record label wants the album at this and that date, so you need to stick with that somehow. But it's important to do both. So we worked our asses off in the studio, but then we made sure that we got out and had a few beers and a few drinks every night to wind down and hug each other for a good day's work.
All right. Between Save the Nation and Weekend Man, you released an acoustic EP, if I remember well.
Yeah.
What was the idea? I mean, it can be unexpected. I mean,
it was very unexpected, and that's one of the most fun things we ever did. This whole Nosebreaker project. It was us. We started out doing acoustic shows all around Europe, starting with radio stations and stuff, because we were told by the management that you have to do acoustic stuff at the radio stations. You cannot bring drum kits and electric guitars. And we were like, nah, that's not what we do. But then we were persuaded, and it turned into something that we really, really liked doing. We started making all these weird country versions of songs and stuff. And then we decided to, hey, why not bridge these two albums with an acoustic EP? And let's call it the Nosebreakers, World Republic and the Nosebreakers. So we gathered a few friends of ours that played mandolin and banjo and you name it. And we went on tour with this little project all over Europe. And it turns out that people really dug it. We were like, okay, this can either be a success or they could kill us for doing this. We showed up in cowboy hats and stuff, but we actually managed to sell out quite a few places, and it was highly appreciated. So, personally, I'm hoping there will be a return of the Royal Republic and the Nosebreakers somewhere in the future.
Yeah, but you can do, I don't know, a heavy techno-pop version, or you still remain like country version?
Well, you never know. That wouldn't be, knowing us, that wouldn't be... That wouldn't be too weird if we did like a Euro techno pop version of our songs. That would be a lot of fun, actually. You never know.
All right. In terms of, are you the kind of band like to come in the studio with 25, 30 songs, and then after that you have to make a harsh selection of which one will appear on the record, or you only work on the songs that people can hear on the album?
No, actually, this time around we brought in 70 demos to the studio.
Yeah.
Which is quite a lot. And then we went through them and we just threw away all the shit that was in there. That was a lot of shit, but there was also a lot of good stuff. We kept the ones that felt the best and suited the album the best. But we ended up with having quite a few kick-ass songs left for the next album, hopefully. So it's been a good process, even though it took 18 months. It was totally worth it.
All right. Obviously, I mean, you just have to watch the video clips. One of the key elements in your, I suppose, pleasure to do music and release album is the fun you can have together and the energy and the joy you want to give to the audience. How important was such funny elements part of the identity from the start?
It grew into an important ingredient of what is Royal Republic, but we never ever set out to incorporate this whatever you want to call it, funny or humoristic part. It just sort of happened. We never sat down and had a meeting. Let's do this and that. It sort of came from when we started touring. We had one album out and it was 36 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So when the promoter came up to us before the show and said, you guys know you have to play 90 minutes, right? We were like, okay, how is this even possible? So then Adam started doing a lot of small talking in between songs. And, you know, Adam, he's a very charming, funny guy. And it just felt very natural for him and for all of us. And we feel very comfortable in doing what it is we're doing. So we kind of grew into it. So
okay.
It grew into being a completely natural part of Royal Republic.
You know, the solution would have been to play three times each song.
Oh, why didn't we think of that? Where were you when we needed you?
You see that? I know.
Was there a strike going on? Or?
At some point, don't you think can be? Or you are you careful the fact that not to be? People expecting that funny part from you, and don't so you have to deliver funny stuff. Is that at some point a burden more than a blessing more than a curse?
I get what you mean. I guess it's both. I don't think people should be expecting that from us because it came so natural. So we might have nights where it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel natural. I mean, mainly for Adam, it's just part of who we are and who he is. And sometimes you're in the mood, sometimes you're not. That's what it is. But we don't have a problem with people thinking we're charming and slightly funny on stage. But that's not the focus of the band. That's not what we're about. We're about the music. We're about the rock and roll. We're about the expression and entertaining people. And some people appreciate it, some people don't, and that's fine. That's not what it's about. It's about the music. And if you don't like what happens in between the songs, then just, I don't know, put two bananas in your ears in between songs or whatever.
So I understand you're kind of expressing the fact that Swedes in general can be funny and happy folks?
Swedes?
Yeah.
Yes, we can. They're very rare, but on occasions they do arise.
Okay, because we have the feeling sometimes, and maybe the cliche, that people from Scandinavia in general, maybe more Finnish than Swedish guy, I have to say, kind of drown in melancholia and drink like hell just to forget how
you're actually spot on. That's basically what happens. Friday and Saturday in Sweden, you better stay in because it's fucking mayhem. People go berserk. They don't drink a drop during the week, but come Friday, it's all in. It's just pure mayhem. We do have, I know at least Sweden is on the list on one of the highest positions on the suicide rate.
Yeah.
So that's got to mean something, and it is dark, a big time of the year, so... Because maybe we are a little depressed, I don't know.
Because for most of the French, the only contact they may have with Swedish music is ABBA, and it's obvious that these four artists were on heavy acid or something very strong to be able to put that kind of songs, which are nice, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, they are party songs, so it makes total sense, right?
Yeah, true. Let's come back to something more serious. How would you describe your sound or your style, maybe through your... main influences?
That is a tricky question, because the thing is, we have so many different influences. Everything from death metal to singer-songwriter stuff and everything in between. So I guess it's what comes out when we write songs is just a mishmash of everything. And we never got stuck in any specific genre or anything, because there's good music wherever you look. But I'd say, the kind of rock and roll that we play, I guess it has its foundation and its base somewhere in the UK, in Britain. I mean, bands like The Who and The Clash even and stuff like that, the Rolling Stones, you name it. I guess that's where it all stems from. But it's been such a long process, of rock and roll. So it's kind of hard to tell right now. But I'd say 60s British music is where it's all based.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In general, what's the process? How does a song from Royal Republic come to life?
I wish I could say that we're one of those cool, awesome rock bands that get together in the rehearsal room and get drunk and hammer out a few hits every now and then. But we're actually a lot of times we're writing separately, and then we usually, if Pat or Adam or Jonas, whoever writes something, they might bring it to the rehearsal room and say, check this out, I have a chorus, what do you guys think? And the rest of us go, that's cool, let's see if we can come up with a verse, or that's not cool, let's just fuck it. And sometimes we get together, like two or three of us, and write something together, but it differs a lot. But the occasions where we got into a room, all four of us, and wrote something decent, that's pretty rare, actually. I don't know why. I think it's probably because there's four of us, we all have very strong wills, and we're all creative, so, you know, the old saying, with too many chefs makes a lousy soup. Maybe that's mm-hmm. the problem.
Okay, maybe, yeah. On a business point of view, you're no more with Roadrunner.
No.
You're now with Vertigo Universal, which sounds great because it's a major.
Yeah.
What was the magic? Where did he? What was the? How did he? How did it happen?
Well, it's kind of a difficult and long story, but basically, what happened is we were on Roadrunner, and then the Roadrunner was no more, and Warner bought Roadrunner.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
And Warner could decide which bands from Roadrunner they wanted to keep. And we were one of those bands that they wanted to keep and evolve. So we were on Warner for one album, for Save the Nation. Then that didn't work out for various reasons, and we were dropped. Then we were without a company for a while, and then Universal approached us, and we got along well, and here we are. So far, everything feels very good. I mean, it's different being on a major label. It's such a huge machinery, and sometimes it feels like you can get lost in the big roster they have, in all yeah. these major artists. I mean, we could release an album the same week they release a Green Day album or a Neil Young album or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to compete with that, obviously, But so far, we feel very, very comfortable at Universal, actually. It's been good.
During the gap between Warner and Roadrunner, and Universal, sorry, did you have some doubts, some fears of what would be next?
Yes, actually, I can only speak for myself here, but I was scared shitless. I was scared that, you know, what if this is it? What if no one wants us now? Even though I was confident, I am confident in what we do. I know it's quality music and that we put on a great live show. But I still had the feeling that, you know, we got our shot. We were at a major label. Who gets this chance twice? You know, most mm-hmm. people don't even get it once. So yeah, I was a little scared. I never want this whole thing to end. I wanted to keep going on and on and on. So there were a few nervous months or whatever it was, but it all worked out.
Okay, good. Without asking a question too personal, are you a professional musician now? So you make your living with the rural public?
All right. Yeah, actually, we're one of the lucky few that can make a living out of playing rock and roll, and we've been doing so for, I don't know, five years maybe. I mean, there's no big money in it, at least not for us, not at all actually, but we can pay the rent and we can buy food and we can go see a movie every other month. So.
And it was kind of the idea or the objectives, the purpose you were expecting when you started the whole adventure?
No, I remember after like five or six rehearsals, Adam came up to me and he said, Hannes, you know you have to quit your job now, right? Because I was teaching guitar. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, we have a kick-ass cool rock band, we have good songs, but come on, I need to make a living. And he was like, well, you'll see. This is going to take you way further than you can imagine. And he was actually right. So I guess Adam knew all along from the beginning that this was going to take us take us far.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, from the beginning, you never had to face a lineup change?
Yes and no. We did have a different bass player way back, but he wasn't on tour or anything. So, yeah, you could say it's the same lineup. He was on the first album.
What's the magic? How... It's not that that's often or regular to have stable bands.
No, it's pretty rare these days. I mean, we didn't know each other when we started the band, so we didn't expect very much, and we had no like preconceived visions on what we were to become friend wise, but. We got to know each other, and now we consider each other family, and we all love each other. So I guess the key to keeping a band together for this long and while being on tour and stuff is just respecting each other's, privacy, private zone, and each other's weird habits and things and tendencies. I mean, I know I do stuff and say stuff that bugs Jonas, for example, and I know Pal does things that bugs me and so on, and but you need to let that just flow off you and not mind so much. It's like general life. I mean, if you're married, I'm sure your wife does things that bugs you every now and then. She doesn't do this or she does that and stuff like that, but in order to keep things together, you need to look past that,
Yeah. Okay.
I guess that's the key, and also the love of what we're doing. I mean, none of us would trade this for anything in the world. It's the greatest thing ever. It's the biggest adventure we'll ever be upon. So
great. So you already shot two videos for two video clips for Weekend Man, Baby, and When I See You Dance with Another. What can you tell us about the experience of shooting these two videos, and do you take pleasure in that kind of exercise? It's a pain to do hundreds of times the same thing.
It's a pain doing the same thing over and over again. Luckily, these two video shoots have been very much fun. I mean, the first one was super smooth. We did it When I See You Dance. We did it in one day, and it was just rocking out for a couple of hours, and then our producer and director, Leo Åkesson, made an amazing job cutting it all together and adding the effects and stuff. So that was a breeze. That was just great fun. And the other one, Baby, that was a hassle, to say the least. I mean, we had this idea, let's get roller skates and let's dance on them, which seemed like an awesome idea at the moment. But then once we got the roller skates, we realized, hey, we can't roller skate and we can't dance. And now we're supposed to learn to do both in like 3 or 4 days. So we started practicing outside. This was in December, I believe, or November, outside in the cold with like construction workers watching us while we were doing this stupid dance on roller skates with helmets and the knee pads and whatnot. And Jonas, our bass player, had he had torn his ligament in the knee in a ski accident, so the shoot was pretty painful for him. And it was hard. I mean, we had some blisters on our feet and stuff, but all in all, roller skating turned out to be quite fun, so who knows, we might do it again. But,
good.
Yeah.
Okay. I just have one final question and then a short quiz. The final question is, I would like you to try to lighten the mystery for me. It seems that you can stop anyone in the streets in Sweden. You can be in Malmö or Stockholm or whatever, and the guy could play like Yngwie Malmsteen or sing like, name the great singer, how the hell is that possible considering the population you have and the number of bands and great musicians you can find?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It is quite weird. We don't have a lot of people in Sweden, but a lot of people can play and write music very, very well. And I don't have a perfect answer for that, but I have a quite boring scientific answer that is that we get offered music education from a very young age, from like we're 5 or 6. You can, after school, you can go and take music lessons. You can choose your instrument and you get it for free.
Okay.
So a lot of kids in Sweden grow up playing music. I guess that's part of it, but also the fact that we have a strong history of musicians and songwriters. ABBA is obviously a great example, but also recent bands like Roxette and The Hives and Backyard Babies and what have you, and Avicii, obviously, Swedish House Mafia, and all the producers, Max Martin and Shellback and stuff. So maybe it's just the fact that you get inspired. It's like, okay, this guy could do it, and he lives in my hometown, and he has like a small studio, and he made it huge. That's got to mean I can do it as well. It doesn't seem so far-fetched. Everything is pretty close, you know?
Good. A good explanation.
Yeah, definitely.
And so a little quiz, just a little to know you a little better. I know it's always difficult, but I try. Favorite song ever? Least favorite song from Royal Republic?
Wow.
The one that, you know, if it never exists, not a big deal.
Oh, fuck, that's a tricky one. You're about to step on someone's toes. There's always someone liking it.
What can be the one you're fed up to play because you play it 1,000 times, you know, don't? The first rock album you bought?
The first rock album I bought was probably User Illusion 2, Guns N' Roses.
You would be surprised, or maybe not, that the number of artists who, especially for Scandinavia, I think, who answer Kiss.
Kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Everyone says Kiss all the time. To be honest, I never really got what's so awesome about Kiss. I get that they...
I agree. The last album that caught your attention or your ears?
The last album that caught my attention.
What's on your iPhone, iPod right now?
I'd probably say I was pretty late on the whole Royal Blood thing, but I'll go with Royal Blood.
All right. Imagine for the next record you can have any guests, dead or alive. Who would you choose?
I would have to go with Hendrix.
Okay. Especially you as guitar player.
Yeah, I mean, I would be out of a job, obviously, but it would be worth it, I guess.